So we're talking about freedom in Christ. This is a series that we're doing that to try and help you understand what Jesus did for you and the freedom he gave you when he came to save you. We read this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." So that's a really amazing statement when you think about it. If you ask Jesus to come into your life and you give your life to Christ and say, "Jesus, I want you to fill me. I want you to take my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior." He says, "You know what? I'll do that for you and I'll give you a brand new life." You know, sometimes we struggle with the memory of the past and the stuff that goes on in the past. And part of the big problem that we have in life is actually learning to shake the past away and to step into the future and into the things that God has for us. Sometimes the past is so damaging and so painful and so hard to deal with, it sticks to us and we can't really get free from it. It's like a ball and chain tied to our leg. We wish and we hope and we would... That would be great, Jesus, if the old had gone and the new had come, but we don't experience that. It's not because it hasn't taken place in God's perspective. It's because our minds have not grasped the greatness that God has done for us. If I were to take out my wallet and pull out my key card or pull out a credit card or a debit card and I said, "Here, Kath, this has got your name on it. There's $1,000 a week you can spend in that card. It's yours." And she's sitting, oh, wow, that's fantastic. And she put it in her wallet. She says, "It's too good to be true, really." And she never accessed it. She lived like she didn't have it. She would have it, but it wasn't hers. She had to take it. She has to use it. She has to apply it. She has to release it. And that's exactly how it is with God. God has done some amazing stuff for us. He has done some extraordinary stuff for us. And he says, "Here it is, it's all yours." And we sit there and go, "You're kidding. Is it really?" He says, "Yeah, you've got a new life now." It's kind of unfamiliar. "Yeah, but it's new and let's go there now. Let's do this, you know." And, you know, I kind of like the chain. It's familiar. You know, it's security. At least I know where I am and I'll get out of this rut. I don't know where I am anymore. What do you want? You want the rut or do you want to have something new? You have to shake yourself and get out of the rut to get into something new. You have to shake yourself and say, "I'm for new." Who's for new today? I want something new. I want to go forward in God. I don't want to stay where I was last year and the year before last. Every year I'm getting out of the rut and getting into something new. Hanging on to Jesus. Take me someplace I've never been before. Take me someplace that I couldn't even imagine. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, he can do far exceeding above what you ask or think according to the power of God that works in you. You have no idea if you just let go and said, "Jesus, I'm yours, let's go." You have no idea where he could take you. He's ready to do that. Are you ready for that? I don't know. Whoa, why not be? Why not get excited about the possibilities of a new life in Jesus? So this is where we lost it all. We went from the garden to the gutter in the beginning. We had in the beginning when God created us and Jesus created us in the garden, we had a dignity because we created in the image of God. We were significant. God came and talked to us. We were safe and secure in the garden. We are accepted and belong. We could hang around naked and weren't even ashamed of it. You know, we had an intimate relationship with God. Every evening he would come and he would talk with us and he'd speak with us in the garden. I'm talking about Adam and Eve, our parents, you know. It was great. And there was only one rule we had to keep, and that was not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we did that, and we fell. Adam and Eve did it, and when Adam and Eve did it, you and I did it, because we did it in Adam and Eve in that sense. When our father died, we are his children, we were born with that death inside of us. And so all men died. We lost it all. We lost those things. We had this thing that was brought to us, spiritual death and physical death. They don't know why we die. They don't know why the body shuts down. They shake their heads and say, "It really shouldn't shut down. It should redo itself, renew itself all the time, because that's what the body does. It just renews itself. They don't know. They look at the DNA and they see the DNA switching off, and they see it mutating, and they see it mutating to the point of death. And they, if only we could get a chemical to actually change that and turn that back on, because it's been turned off. God turned it off. He didn't have it off at the beginning. Man would live forever had he not sinned. And God said, the moment you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And they died spiritually, and then eventually, after a number of years, they died physically. They got mental depravity. You know, God looked down at man in Genesis chapter 6, and it grieved him that he made man. He looked at the thoughts of man, and he says, the intents and the thought of man and the imagination of their heart was continuously evil all the time. Whoa, that's mental depravity. There was never a sense where they had a noble thought. It was always junked up in their head. There was always messed up in their heads. And he looked around and he said, is there anybody who's thinking straight here? Is there anybody who's thinking righteous here? And he could only find one, Noah. Everybody else was twisted. And all the time, every imagination of their thought was twisted all the time. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, in the last days before Jesus comes back again, he says, it's going to be just like Noah's days. Just like that. It's no wonder. I mean, if you think, when was the last time that you talked to somebody who was righteous thinking and moving on? It's few and far between people who have their heads screwed on the right place. Most of them are just spiraling down into some filthy junk. God wants to lift us out of that, doesn't he? Mental depravity, emotional depravity. There was fear and anxiety. They were hiding in the garden away from God. He came walking, and where are you, Adam? And they were hiding away. They had fear and anxiety, guilt and shame, depression and anger. They were powerless. They were rejected and all of that. But Jesus says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus came to give his life and life more abundantly. Amen? He came to give us a new life. A new life. And he says, if you're in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay. What's happening here? Can you feel that? Does it feel flat to you? What's happening here? Is there life happening here? Or is there something else going on in your head? What's happening here? Think about it. Think about it. Listen to me. This is truth. This is the Word of God. If you can get your head around this, it will change you. If you can take this inside and hold it inside, it will reform your life and radically change your life. You don't have to sit and do this as a listen to the sermon. This is about receiving something from God's Word. Waking up on the inside. Thinking about it. You know, sometimes when I preach here, I feel like I'm trying to push something up a hill. It's like, are you convinced of this? Friends, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. He wants to shake your tree until all the rubbish falls out of it, so you can be what he wants you to be. I know it's hard sometimes, but shake yourself. Say, this is the thing that's most important in life. Listen to it. Listen to it. He's come to give you life. Not to give you a ritual. Not to give you a religion. But to give you life and a relationship with him. He's come to live with you. To dwell with you, to dwell in you, and to strengthen you so you can be victorious. That's new life. Amen. All right. This is the new beginning. You've got dignity. You've got significance now. You've got safety and security in Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You're accepted by Jesus. He has an intimate relationship with you. You know, we are so desirous that you understand how much God loves you. But God is even more desirous for you to understand. In Luke chapter 15, he gives three ideas or three little parables to tell you how much God loves you and how much he's looking for you to turn around. There's an old word in the Greek. It's called repentance. And it means to turn around. It means if you're going a certain direction, you need to turn around and go in the opposite direction. That's what it says. I mean, the word repentance is kind of religious, and it has this overtone of negativity. But listen, everybody needs to change. And that's essentially what it is. You've got to change. If you don't change, you're heading in the wrong direction. If you don't change, you're doomed. You have to change in three ways. You have to change the way you think. You have to change the way you feel. And you have to change the choices that you make. That's essentially what the word means. Repentance means change the way you think, change the way you feel about stuff, and change the choices that you make. If you make those changes, that'll be good. Now Jesus wanted us to understand exactly how much he thought this was important. He gave us three stories. One about a woman who had an Israeli headdress on, and it had coins in the front of them. And obviously there was a coin that was loose and it dropped off the headdress. You know how they have that sort of a chain across there and they have little coins all there? One of them had dropped off, and she searched the whole house looking for that one coin that had dropped down. And when she found it, oh, there was great rejoicing in the place because she had found the coin that was lost. It had rolled somewhere underneath the sofa, and she'd gone through the whole house and finally found that little thing and put it back on. And Jesus says, you know, there's going to be such great rejoicing in heaven when one person changes the way they think, changes the way they feel, and changes the choices that they are making. There's going to be, the angels are going to have a party in heaven because that. And then he goes on and he tells us another story. He tells us another story about, what was the other one about? She lost sheep. Dumb old sheep. Should follow the master. Should keep with the master. You know, but what did the sheep do? It wandered its own way. Stupid thing. You know, I know you're over there, but I'm going to eat some grass over here. It looks greener over here. And before we know it, the shepherd had moved on and the sheep had lost itself. It's got lost. And we're told the same story. He puts the 99 in its little fold. He stands there and he looks at them, puts a fire in front of them so the wolf can't get in and they can't get out. And then he goes in the midst of the night and he starts looking. He starts looking for that one sheep. That one sheep was called Mark. He started looking for him. So when Mark had lost his way, he'd gone and done his own thing and he'd walked his own stubborn way and got himself caught up with a whole lot of stuff, caught in a thicket and caught with some thorns and all tied up and bruised and broken. He was lost out there. The shepherd was out looking for him. He come looking for, where are you, Marky Parky? Where are you? Come to daddy. Come on, where are you, Mark? And bleat, bleat, I'm over here. Bleat, bleat, can you hear me, dad? He come looking for me. And when he found me, he picked me up on his shoulders and he took me back. And he says, and when Mark learned to change his mind, when Mark learned to change his emotion, when Mark learned to change the choices he made, there's a party in heaven going on. The angels are going, yay! Hallelujah. Yippee! Someone's turned around. Glory. You know, we'll don't change anything. Just keep on going the way we're doing. We've got to shake ourselves and say, every day, is there something I need to change? Hang on to that, because every time we turn around, the angels are saying, that's it, that's the stuff, do that. Turn around, change the stuff. And he leaves it, and he gives the last picture. It's a picture of a lost son, relational picture. Well, there's this family, you know. We don't know about the mum, but dad was there and the two sons are there. We don't hear anything about the mother, do you? But dad's got lots of money. And the youngest one comes up and says, Dad, I'm a big boy now. Can you give me my inheritance? I ain't dead yet, son. No, I just want my money because I want to have party time, Dad. Well, the oldest boy, he's out doing what his daddy tells him to do. The youngest one, dad says, okay, here's your money. And off he goes. Off he goes into the city. He's going to live it up. And, of course, he's got lots and lots of friends when his money's there. Lots and lots of friends. He's always got lots of money and lots of friends. He's splashing around. Everybody's your friend when you've got lots of money. Then his money ran out. There was a famine in the land. That means that everything dried up. Everything went away. Oh, he didn't have any money left in there. Everything got expensive. And so finally, he sort of said, oh, I better go and have to work now. So he thought, okay, I'll go and work for this guy who's looking after pigs. So he's working for this guy who's looking after pigs, but he's not even getting enough money to eat. He's looking at the food that the pigs are eating. He says, oh, if only I could fill... Have you seen pig food? Have you seen pigs eating? I can understand his dilemma. He's saying, if only I could fill my stomach with the food that the pigs are eating. His pain brings him to his senses. The scripture says, and when he came to his senses, he said to himself, even my father's servants eat better than this. I know what I'll do. I'll change the way I'm thinking. I'll change the way I'm feeling. And I'll change the choices I'm making. And I will go back to my father and I will tell him, please hire me as your servant. And so he left that place and he went for a long journey. And as he was coming up the road toward his father's house, his father was waiting at the gate there. His eyes pierced into the distance. He could see this person walking toward him. He said, that's the son. That's my son. That's my son. He's walking home. And before he could even get near the gate, the father had his arms stretched out open wide and he was belting down the road toward him. He picked him up in his arms. My son, you're home again. Picked him up and he took him inside. He washed him down and he put a robe around him, like made him a prince again. He put a ring on his finger and he started, go and get the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son who is dead is now alive. This is the heart of a father who was just so passionately in love with his son. Why don't we go back to the Father? I mean, if it was that easy, you know. If we knew that God was so gracious, it would be easy to move back to him. But why don't we? Why is it when you start talking about God to people, and you talk about Father God to people, they don't get that response like, oh, yep, let's go back to God. In fact, they start going, you know, I'm feeling kind of awkward. Don't talk to me about religious stuff. Why is it that people who really need to wake up to themselves when they're looking at the pig food and say, maybe I should get back and change my mind about Father God. Maybe I should. They don't. They say, no, I'll stay here and I'll die here, but I won't move back. Why is that? You know what? I think it's the sin of the father before it's the sin of the son. Because I think that we don't understand God, our Heavenly Father, because we've had poor role models as earthly fathers. And our earthly fathers have painted a picture of God which is not right and not correct. And so we think, okay, well, I turn to God. Well, and then we get this picture in our mind of what would God be like. We have no idea of what a Heavenly Father would be like. And there's nothing inside of us that would are drawn or attracted to His love. This son, when he was looking at the pig's will, he could say, I can go back home, because he knew something of his father's heart. He knew something of his father's love. Even when he was away, he knew something of the acceptance and the positive regard he would, unconditional positive regard he'd get from his father. He knew it. Now we don't, because we have a poor image of our father. These are some of the patterns that we get. Some of our dads have been distant and disinterested. They're absent and too busy for us. You're growing up and you're saying, well, where's dad? He was never around. He was always busy doing something else. Paints that picture, you know? And we think this way. God, Heavenly Father, is like earthly father. Nothing further from the truth, friends. Nothing further from the truth. God, your Heavenly Father, is not a picture of your Heavenly Father, of your earthly father. Your earthly father missed it by a long way. And when we let that stop us from moving towards God, because we don't understand Father, heart of God, we miss the benefit of being His children. Some of our fathers were insensitive, uncaring, they were mean, they were cruel and abusive. They're trying to take all the fun out of life. How many of you, don't bother to put your hand up, your dad might be sitting in the room. You might experience that. That might have been what you felt. You're going through life and, you know, it was just like cruel and abusive and hard. Some of you might have had this experience. Your father was stern and demanding, never satisfied with what you could do, controlling and manipulating, nitpicking and exacting, perfectionist. It didn't matter if you did it and you brought it to him and said, I did this. There was always something wrong with what you did. It was never quite right. He never got excited about it. Oh, isn't that fantastic? You've done that. It was like, well, you could have done that a little bit there. And if you really wanted, you'd have to go and do that. You know, we get that picture in our mind of our Heavenly Father that he's just so perfectionist. He, you know, if you can't get it right, exactly right, he's going to slap you down real hard. Boof, like that, you know. Why would you want to go and talk to God Father? You know, if my dad, my earthly father used to beat me down like that, why wouldn't God do that? He's got a bigger stick than... And we don't want to go back there. We don't want to move back to God. Why? Because we've got this picture in our mind of a father who's stern and demanding. It gets our head, it clouds our head. We don't want to go towards God. And friends, it's getting worse in our society. With the breakdown of marriages, with the breakdown of families, with fathers doing their own thing, mothers doing their own things, and children. The number one problem with our youth today is abandonment. Adult abandonment of children. Adult abandonment of children. Here's some money. Get out of my face. Don't bother me. Your mother and I are busy, or I'm busy, your mother's doing her thing with the girls, and out of my face. Adult abandonment of children. Is it any wonder we have a problem with registering God as our Father and having a good feel about that? Some of our fathers are passive and cold. You can't, you know... You want to raise something, you know, but it's nothing. Just get nothing. Absolutely nothing from them. Not a good pattern. But Father God is different. And the Bible tells us that Father God is different. If you read Psalm 139, you read how intimately involved he is in your life to the point where he created you. For the very, very beginning, he put you, before you were even a full-fledged fetus, you are just a zygote. The cells are just brought together. Before you were even formed in your mother's room, he knew you. He was acquainted with you. He knew your days and he was in love with you. Before you were even born, before you even formed as a child, that right there at conception. That's my child. I'm involved. He was kind and compassionate, and Psalm 103, it tells us how kind and compassionate God is. He forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. He's kind and compassionate. He's extending himself for us. That's what the Bible tells us. He's accepting and he's filled with love and joy. And Zephaniah, we used to sing this song. He rejoices over us with singing. We used to sing that song. We used to sing that whole passage. And it's like, the picture is this. God's looking at us and he's going, whoa, I'm so excited about you. I'm doing a little dance all the way around you. You know, I look at Daisy and give me Daisy. This is my little Daisy. She's one of my beautiful grandchildren, but this is the one that smiles at granddad. You know, it's like when she starts laughing and giggling, you do that, don't you? You want to rejoice over her. It's like your whole life just pivots around her. It's like you say, oh, isn't she so beautiful? I just love her and I just want to play with her. And you have other things to do, but you just want to rejoice about her. You just want to look at her and watch her and cuddle her and kiss her. And you just. But that's Father God. That's what Father God is doing. There's no. If I am capable of doing that with this darling and I'm connected to this child, Father God is connected that way to us. It's the same heart. This is the heart of God. And it rejoices over us. Yes. puppet eat their legs. It was a great song. We used to sing that when I was a kid. He's warm and affectionate. In Isaiah 40 says he tenderly picks us up and cares for us. Tenderly. He's warm and affectionate. He's ever present. In Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5 and 6 he says, he will never leave you nor will he ever forsake you, where you may boldly say the Lord is your helper. You don't have to fear what man will do unto you. And he's patient and he's slow to anger. Well, you think, you know, when you grew up in some households, you might have said, you spilt the milk and bang, that was it. The explosion took place. Bang, immediately. You just did something, just one little thing, and boof, it just took off. And you end up walking around like this on eggshells. You know what that feeling like? You get that angst on the inside. You get that, you can't relax. It's like, no, you're just waiting for it to go off again. Boom. You know, why would I want to become a Christian? Why would I want to go back to God? If God's a big guy up there with a huge, great big stick, he's just waiting. Oh, you stepped out of line. Boof, take that. Why would you even want to go to church? Why would you want to go to church if God's mates, his brothers and or his other children, would sit there like the prodigal's brother and get all angry at you because you're making some mistake? Why would you bother going back to church? Look, that's the problem, isn't it? People have a perception of what God is like, but they don't know the real thing. They don't know who Jesus really is. They don't know what God is really like. And you know why they don't know that? Because they haven't got any role model. They never had a role model. Never had any example of it. Didn't grow up with it. Didn't look at it. All they got was Jesus in the manger and Jesus on the cross. That was about the extent of their exposure to Jesus. Never really got to see what the heart of God was really like. And you know what? God loves you so much. It's so great his love for you. When you get to see how much he loves you, it turns you around on the inside and makes you run toward him, not to run away from him. When you get to see how much he loves you, it makes you run toward him, not away from him. Little Jade, my daughter Jade, she was one of the kids, you know. Nathan would fight me. Renee would go sulk. And this one, if she got into a wrong place, she would run toward me. That was her defense, I suppose. You know, oh, she in trouble. Dad, sorry, Daddy, sorry, Daddy, sorry, Daddy. Just, well, what can you do now? You know, Mum was not so soft. You know, Mum would say, oh, I'll make you sit down and wake up. And she would give her a little bit, one, two, three. But Daddy, you know, I'm sorry, Daddy, sorry, Daddy, sorry. And run into my arms. That was her moat. You know, that's the heart of Jesus. You know, the heart of Jesus is so loving. He said, you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, he said. Read through the gospel and look at how Jesus is with people and how people flock to him. Why did they flock to him? Because he had this incredible love about him, his incredible unconditional love about him. He was looking after them. He was the Father in the flesh. Behold, your son will be born. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the exact representation of Father God. You just look at Jesus and look at what he did. Read the Bible and look at how he was with people. There you have it. There is the perfect picture of your perfect Father in the body of Jesus. Right there, showing you what it's like. You run toward him, not away from him. You know what he's giving you. He's giving you hope and he's giving you new life. He's forgiving. He's forgiving. The son comes home. He says, I'm sorry, Dad. He says, you're alive. Let's start all over again. And he welcomes him home. He's committed to our growth. He's committed to our growth and he's extremely proud of us. We're his inheritance. He looks at us and he's very proud of us. And he says, you know, and I saw this stuff, somebody put it on Instagram. What just happened to you wasn't punishment. Who put that up on there? Somebody put it up. Cares. What just happened to you isn't punishment. It's training. It's training. And God looks at you and says, you know what? There's some hard times coming for some of you. Some of you are going to enter in some difficult times. And you're going to think, oh, God is punishing me. Well, that's wrong. He's not punishing you. He wouldn't let the heavy times come on you unless he knew that he could be with you and strengthen you to do that. He says in Romans chapter 8 that everything works together for good for them that are called according to his purpose, because he's able to get there beside you. Even though you go through this terrible thing and it's horrible, horrible, horrible. And we, Jenny and I, have been through some horrible, horrible, horrible. You know we've been through some horrible, horrible. But God strengthened us through those times. He says, you know what, Mark? You can go through this because I'm here with you and we can do this together. And he's been faithful. He's been there. He's been Father God, who's been my strength all the time. And everything that I've gone through, he's been able to strengthen me, to enable me to get stronger through the process. Why would you run away from someone like that? I understand why people don't run to God. I understand what picture they've got in their head. But whose job is it to change that picture? Well, it's our job to recognize that God is calling them. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for yourself. When was the last time you sat down and said, I'm really tired of this? Put your hand up if it was just recently. I am really tired of this. Well, he said, come to me. You're really tired? Come to me, and I will give you rest. He's welcoming you to come. When you get really tired, that's the time to go to the Father. It's the time to say, here I am. What can I learn from this? And sit down with Jesus and talk to the Father and ask Father God to give you some instruction and help you and strengthen you and refresh yourself in God. He calls you. And the Holy Spirit is there the whole time. And you know the Holy Spirit. You hear the Holy Spirit. And even if you're not saved, you will feel him and hear him today. Even if you're not saved, you will know him. Because he says he comes to those who don't know him, who don't know God. And when Jesus says, come to me, the Holy Spirit is the one who says, you know what? You've missed the mark in your life, and there's some big problems that you've got in your life which are called sin. It's basically, there was the ideal and you missed it badly. He said, you know, and if you keep on going the way you're going, it's going to get worse, not better, and it's going to get really worse in eternity. The Holy Spirit will let you know that. You know that because the guilt inside you says, you know, there's bad stuff coming if you don't change, if you don't change the way you think, if you don't change the way you behave, if you don't change the way you feel. The Holy Spirit just stirs that inside. You know there's a deep sinking feeling inside. It's dangerous to stay where you are. That didn't come from sitting in this world that says everything's okay, you're okay and I'm okay. It's come from the fact that God lives and he's saying to you, it ain't okay, you've got to fix it up. So he's sitting there, he's telling you, you've missed it. He's telling you, you're not in the right place. And he says, there's a better way, you know, come to me, there's a better way. The Holy Spirit's actively working with you to do that. One of the great encouragements that I have is when I sit and talk to somebody who doesn't know anything about God, I know that it's not just me talking to them, that the Holy Spirit is speaking into their hearts. And I know what he would be saying to them. I remember talking to a workman one day when I was working, and he said to me, you know, Mark, and he said these three things. He says, I've really stuffed up in life. He says, I know there's some bad stuff coming. He says, and I know there's a better way. And I looked at him and I thought, I know who's been talking to you. And I said to him, you've been listening to the Holy Spirit. He didn't understand what that meant. I said, you've been listening to the Holy Spirit, because he said that's exactly what he would tell you. I said, now here's the answer. One of the reasons why you can be bold, friends, when you go and talk to people who don't know Jesus, is because you're not alone. You've gone walking with Father, and Father's found somebody. He says, now you talk to them, and I'll start working in them. So you might have come today and you might feel weary and heavy laden. You might be conscious of these three things. You're really stuffed up. There's some bad stuff going to come. If you died with that on your conscience, there's some bad stuff coming. But there's a better way. There's a right way. And you might not know anything else, but you might know those three things today because the Holy Spirit told you even before you came here about those three things. And Jesus is saying, now come to me. Come to me. I want to fix it up. I want to make it new. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today, if you're aware of that, if you've got that sense inside, sort of drawing sense inside, don't push it down and bury it. Listen. Listen to what he's saying. And come to him. Father wants you to come to him. He has a new life for you. He wants you to turn around. He's got a plan for you that is good, that has a future. And he wants to strengthen you to do it. Amen? Bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to talk to those who've come today and they've sensed those three things. They would never have run to God because of stuff in the past, but you know, today you want to come to Jesus. You want to bring your brokenness to Jesus and you want him to give you a new start. I want you to raise your hand if that's where you're at today, if that's what you've been sensing today. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand now in your seat. Stand where you are. That's so you don't. We're not going to come out the front, but I just want you to stand up where you are now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to pray this prayer with me. You can repeat it after me. But make it your heart's prayer. And dear Jesus, I come to you now with my brokenness. I know that you love me and that you forgive me and that you will cleanse me when I confess my sin to you. And Father, I have sinned. I have broken your rules. And I recognize I need you in my life. I ask you to enter into my life by your Holy Spirit and change me from the inside out. Give me a new start, a new beginning. Take away all the old and give me a fresh start today. I am sorry that I've done the things that I've done. Cleanse my life now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for those who prayed this prayer and ask, oh God, by your Holy Spirit, you dwell with them and strengthen them, Lord Jesus. That the fruit of your Holy Spirit would become their portion, Father, and that you would strengthen them and build them in the work of God in this life, Father. Lord, I ask that you would seal them with the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and make them yours, Father, and we bind every work of the enemy that would come, Lord, to try and take them away from you, Father. Those who've rededicated their lives to you today, Father, and given their lives back to you and said, Lord, I want to make it a fresh start with you today, Lord, you forgive them of their sins, Father. You take them and pick them up, Lord Jesus, and strengthen them like you said you would, Father. And Lord, let them exchange their weakness for your strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray for everyone here today, Father, that we will be imbued with boldness, Father, that we'd have boldness to continue on in you, we pray, and share your light with those around, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.